It's good to be back together again with you today. And when we left off last time, I had finished what I wanted to say about Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 17a, just the first part of verse 17. I pray that I have been faithful to the text and my exposition has been helpful to you. As always, I welcome your questions and comments. Just write to me today with those. God's power is manifested through the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, and then all throughout the remainder of the New Testament as well. And as I said on Monday, I want to now give you some examples of the Holy Spirit's power in the lives of the apostles and the disciples as the Spirit empowered them to do what Christ commanded them to do. And for this, turn back with me first to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. I want to take you to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. This is Jesus speaking to the apostles, and he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." And we have seen the Holy Spirit come upon them in Acts 2. When the Spirit came, he came in power. And now let's spend some time watching the apostles and early disciples be Christ's witnesses. And I think you should know that the word witnesses in the original language means one who dies for his faith. Think about that. Witnessing for Jesus Christ can get you killed. And witnessing did just that often in the New Testament and early centuries of the spread of the gospel. It does so today in many parts of God's world. Witnesses means one who dies for the faith. Faith, meaning having faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. These apostles now move out in the power of the Holy Spirit to boldly tell others about the truth in Jesus Christ. They are going to use their words to proclaim Christ, and we're going to follow them around in Acts as they do it. Jesus commanded them to start in Jerusalem, and we have already heard a little of Peter doing this in his sermon in Acts 2 and verses 14 through 17. And now let's go to Samaria, and for that, come with me to Acts chapter 8. So we're moving from Acts 2 to Acts 8. But just before I read there, let me give you a little background. I have two insights here. First, now the witness testimony of the apostles has been a success, and the new church is growing in number because of the power of the Holy Spirit drawing the Jews to repentance. This is why the Holy Spirit is present in the life of every Christian. He dwells in us to empower us for evangelism. When you and I witness for Christ today, we obey the Lord's command in the same way the first apostles and disciples obeyed his command. And we do so in the power of the Holy Spirit, just as they did. You and I cannot be effective witnesses for Christ in our own strength. We must depend totally on the pure power of the mighty Spirit of the living God that is in us. And we have that power, I repeat, in us. Second, by Acts chapter 8, thousands of new believers are in the church, and the man Philip that we're about to meet is one such man. And the Lord had a very special purpose in Philip's life. I'll tell you more about that as we proceed. But the church is growing, and it is growing because the Spirit is empowering the apostles to witness to the truth about Jesus Christ. Okay, let me pick up our reading at Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, and then I'll pop down to verses 4 through 5. This is Acts chapter 8, verse 1, and verses 4 through 5. "And on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." Verse 4, "Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them." What do we have here? It's a great persecution of the believers, and that leads to the scattering of them. And notice to where? Judea and Samaria. And that should remind you of Jesus' command in Acts 1, verse 8, that we read earlier. Jesus said, "You shall be my witnesses in both Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria." Well, in the providence of God and with the persecution of the church, the early disciples are now on the move, and they find themselves in Judea and Samaria, exactly where God wants them. But please note a little detail at the end of verse 1. The Bible says, except the apostles. The apostles themselves stayed in Jerusalem. And that's very important to know because, listen again to verse 5, Philip went down to the city of Samaria. Which Philip? This is obviously not the Apostle Philip. I repeat, this is not the Apostle Philip. So let me tell you who this Philip was, and then we'll see what he did. We first meet him in Acts 6 when the apostles put in charge 7 men to lead the ministry to the widows. Philip was one of the men. And then he becomes the first missionary named in Scripture. How awesome is that for Philip? By proclaiming Christ, here in our text, Acts 8. And if you follow this man Philip throughout Acts, you will see him again in Acts chapter 21 and verse 8. And listen to how he is described there. Acts 21:8. On the next day, we left and came to Caesarea, and entering the house of Philip, the evangelist, who was one of the 7, we stayed with him. Philip is an evangelist. He is the only person in the Bible given this title. Evangelist, the bringer of good news. Philip faithfully used his words to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are all sinners, and our sin separates us from God. But Christ died to forgive us of our sin. If we will have faith alone, in Christ alone, then we will be forgiven and enjoy an intimate and eternal relationship with God. That's good news indeed. But if we reject Jesus, then we perish in an eternal separation from God. That's very bad news, the worst possible news. So Philip brings the good news, the gospel, to Samaria. And here we have a few facts about Samaria. Philip, leaving Jerusalem, would have walked north about 40 miles. And then he came into Samaria, the ancient capital city of the northern kingdom of the nation of Israel. By this time, as you know, if you have read the story in John 4 of Jesus meeting at the well with the Samaritan woman, or if you have read in Luke 9 of what the Jewish disciples wanted to do to the Samaritans after they rejected Jesus, or even if you have read and properly understood the parable of the Good Samaritan, Luke 10, the Jews and the Samaritans did not get along. This tension between them grew thick in what we call the intertestamental period between the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, and the first book of the New Testament, Matthew. And by the time we get into the New Testament, we quickly pick up on the bitter distaste the Jews and Samaritans had for one another. Nevertheless, Jesus, a Jew, loves all people, and he is committed to seeing his gospel shared with the Samaritans. Therefore, Philip goes to them. This is in obedience to Jesus' divine command in Acts 1. And look what he does when he gets there. This is Acts 8, verse 5. Philip began proclaiming Christ to them. And then verse 6. The crowds with one accord were giving attention to what was said by Philip as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. Wow! The proclaiming of Jesus Christ results in a united crowd paying attention to all that Philip says and does as Philip is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Skipping down to verse 12 of Acts 8 for a moment, listen to the word of God. But when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. And then also Acts 8, verses 14 through 15. Now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Philip's ministry has been fruitful, and when the apostles, remember, they are still in the city of Jerusalem, south of Samaria, hear the wonderful news, they send Peter and John up to Samaria. They join the evangelist, the missionary Philip, there. And notice that they pray for these people to receive who? To receive the Holy Spirit. And again, I realize I'm passing some awesome detail, but go down to verse 25 of Acts chapter 8. And if you do not have your Bible there, please read this later. This is Acts 8, verse 25. Listen to this. So when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of these Samaritans. My friends, do you see? Do you hear what is happening in Acts 8? This is the fulfillment of what Jesus promised in Acts 1. Acts 1, verse 8. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be my witnesses in Samaria. And that's exactly what happened down in Acts chapter 8. I am giving you some examples of the Holy Spirit's power in the lives of the apostles and disciples, evangelists like Philip, as the Spirit empowered them to do what Christ commanded them to do. And when you come back tomorrow, I'll have more. We're in the book of Acts, and I invite you to read this for yourself. It's fascinating and will be very profitable for you to read this evening. Come in from the cold, turn on some lights or light a candle, leave the television off, open your copy of your Bible to the book of Acts, and read it. And before we end today, I have an announcement. Please be sure to be with me all next week and the week after as God Is goes on the road to Hong Kong. Recently, I was in Hong Kong, China, and sat down with a good friend of mine to discuss Christianity in mainland China. I'll be airing that interview beginning on Monday right here on God Is. We'll explore how God is moving by His Spirit in this nation, massive in size, both in population and geographic reach, and talk about what's happening within the church in China. I want to encourage you to invite friends and family to join you daily on WROL and WEZE or on the free podcast, downloadable from the WEZE website. Who is God? He is the master of the universe. And what is He doing outside our nation and our communities? Come along and find out as we go to Hong Kong together all next week on this broadcast. But first, be right back here tomorrow as we continue to learn that God is power.